Live from Torquay, this is Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye on 94.7 The Pulse.
And we're down here in Torquay at Cafe Moby. Come on down because it's a very beautiful day in Torquay. The winds are very calm. It couldn't be much better than this, you wouldn't think. But I'm now joined on the line from Surf Coast Air Action Group by Andrew Laird. Good morning to you, Andrew.
Yes, Andrew Laird. Good morning, Mitch. How are you?
Very good to speak to you. Thank you so much for taking the time out to speak to us this morning. And this is really the whole discussion that's been going on backwards and forwards about what's going to happen to that site, which was occupied by the Alcoa Power Station. But now that they're closing down, there's a bit of uncertainty, is there?
Oh, there certainly is. There's a lot of opportunity as well. As you'd be aware, the Alcoa coal mine and power plant shut for good late last year in about August, I think it was, and we're currently in the midst of a process that will determine the future uses for the site, particularly the disturbed land. So you've got the mine itself and also some freehold land that the power plant proper was located on, and there's also a huge amount of leasehold land, a lot of which is National Heritage listed heathland that will go into the Otway National Park. So we're really talking about the future uses of the disturbed land.
I remember when we first spoke to you on this program, and it was a fair while ago now, but at that time there was still some uncertainty as to whether the power plant would continue or not. There was some talk that it could continue as a private enterprise at generating power. So obviously you've won that battle, because that was your main battle at the time, wasn't it, to make sure that it did close down?
Well, it certainly was. We had two aims. In an ideal world, of course, it would be shut down, both because of the health and environmental impacts. But if that wasn't going to happen, and ultimately, Mitch, of course, that wasn't something we could directly control, we certainly wanted it cleaned up so that our vulnerable community and primary school located nearby weren't being exposed to dangerous pollutants, including particulates, which are carcinogenic, and sulfur dioxide, which is a significant respiratory irritant. So we've won that battle happily, and we're very much focused on the potential for a win-win outcome in the future.
Obviously, you talked about the disturbed land there, which is a big issue as a result of mining activity. Is there anything that can be done to get that sort of covered over, or how do you actually go about cleaning up a mine site when it's finished?
Well, there are a number of issues. You've got the mine site itself, where they physically extracted the coal. That is basically a very big hole. It's up to 60 metres below sea level. And as I understand it, it is ultimately proposed that that will become some form of body of water / lake and be revegetated. Then you have a large area of land near the power plant itself, which is also disturbed. You don't have the native heathland left there. There's a big asbestos dump, we understand there, that has at present something in the order of 10 Olympic-sized swimming pools of asbestos and asbestos-contaminated material in it. We understand also that there will be further asbestos in the power plant infrastructure that will be stripped out. So in terms of future uses, one would imagine, where you have this asbestos contamination and the potential for a dump to remain there in perpetuity, although that remains to be seen, you would need a very large buffer area. You couldn't have housing, for example, within cooey of an asbestos dump. And given that that land needs to be put to a useful purpose and a community orientated purpose, we would see the potential certainly for renewable energy, particularly solar, community solar. You've also got the existing electricity infrastructure there, which has to be remembered. So you've got a high voltage power line between Anglesey and Point Henry, which would cost an absolute fortune to replicate. And it's obviously a great shame to waste that, given that Anglesey could potentially become a renewable energy producer.
Given some of those issues around, for example, the asbestos dump there, would it ever be possible to turn the space into something like a community park or something like that, or is it really not fit for people to go onto that land at all?
Well, that's really ultimately a matter for experts, Mitch, and that's something we'll be keeping a very, very close eye on. But one point that came out very clearly when we did surveying a couple of years back in relation to whether the Anglesey community wanted to see the power plant sold or responsibly closed down was that a handful of people were opposed to the idea of the facility shutting. The vast majority wanted it closed. But out of that handful that said they didn't want it shut, a lot of them, and I actually spoke personally to a number of them, weren't keen on the plant itself continuing, but they were terribly concerned by the idea that we might end up with some form of North Anglesey / Torquay type development on the Alcoa site. So community parkland, something that is of benefit to the Anglesey community and sees Alcoa giving back rather than seeking to flog the freehold off to the highest bidder, is something that we would very much welcome, and we'll be out there advocating for precisely that.
In terms of the renewable energy proposal, why is solar probably your preference as opposed to wind turbines?
Well, there are a few issues there. Firstly, there is an ongoing process of community consultation on foot in relation to the future of the Alcoa site. A whole lot of proposals may well be put up, and some have already been. So we can't preempt what the outcome of that is likely to be. And I understand that you'll have the mayor on shortly, and no doubt she can talk to you further about that. Having said that, obviously we're very interested in advocating as part of that conversation for sensible, sensitive uses for the land. Solar is particularly attractive because you've got a large area of relatively flat, low-lying land where you could have potentially quite a large-scale solar facility that would be completely out of sight, putting electricity back into the grid, potentially powering Anglesey. That's something that we're very excited about. In relation to wind, there are a couple of issues. Firstly, even though the current more progressive state government under Daniel Andrews has relaxed the planning laws in relation to wind somewhat, you still couldn't have a wind turbine within a kilometre, I think it is, of Anglesey, perhaps even a bit more. And moreover, the sort of terrain that we have around Anglesey, particularly the area where the power plant is located, just wouldn't be suitable for wind. It's too low, it's not exposed enough, and there are some very, very good wind resources elsewhere in the Shire, more in the sort of Winchelsea type area, some of those high hills that poke out of the plains and are very, very exposed. Anglesey is not a place that we would see as being suitable for wind for those reasons.
And I was reading in the paper on the weekend, and I mentioned this to Rose Hodge just before, when it comes to wind energy, that there is a bit of a review going on at the moment, and two members of that at a federal government level, one of them is a member of the federal government, one is a member of another party, said that they'd like to see a moratorium on new wind turbines because of perceived health problems when it comes to wind turbines. And I thought that these issues were in fact resolved. Do you think there's anything in this proposal?
That, in my view, is a disgraceful situation. There have been a plethora of scientific studies around the world that have repeatedly proven wind energy to be safe. Here in Australia, unfortunately, we seem to have a fringe group that is absolutely opposed to wind. It is a terrible concern that That seems to be something which is being exploited by interests that are keen to see us to continue to use coal. We need to be phasing coal power out rapidly. Wind power is a crucial element in doing that. And anything that seeks to frustrate that, I think, should be of enormous concern to Australians. And people should be asking the question, why on earth do we need a moratorium here and another study, given that we have umpteen studies from around the world that have done precisely that? Climate change is urgent, and we also have a massive problem in Australia, despite the attempts to gloss over it, with air pollution, with in the order of 3,000 Australians dying annually from air pollution. They're government figures, and coal is a big part of that problem. Why on earth, in those circumstances, do we need an inquiry into wind energy? It just doesn't make sense.
Most of the groups that do like coal power, and they say that we should have more of it because they say that it drives prosperity, cite that economically it's cheaper. Do you know much about the cost differential between coal power and wind energy or solar power?
I know a lot about it, and the apologists that like to push that argument conveniently ignore a number of things. Firstly, they don't factor in the massive environmental and health costs. Secondly, they don't factor in the subsidies that the coal industry receives. They like to argue that they don't actually receive subsidies, but at the end of the day, they're beneficiaries of very large government subsidies for mines through things like the diesel fuel rebate and various other subsidies. The notion that coal power is in any way cheap is an absolute nonsense, and that myth has been exposed in a number of places. Regrettably, those who seek to prop the industry up keep trying to perpetuate it.
Well, Andrew, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate your insights. Very interesting, and we'll continue to watch those developments and perhaps try and speak to you in the future.
Anytime. My pleasure.
Good on you. Thank you very much, Andrew Laird. Bye-bye. There from Surf Coast Air Action Group on Mitchell's Front Page this morning. We are live from Torquay. We will go to a break. Joining us next will be program technical commentator Trent Geddes on 94.7 The Pulse.
Mitchell's Front Page with Mitchell Dye. Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11 on 94.7 The Pulse.